We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The business of breakfast? Oh, yeah, you need to fuel up. We all do. And one area restaurant has been doing breakfast and brunch a little bit differently for more than 8 years. Uncle Wolfie's. The owners are learning. We're all learning, aren't we? And they opened a new space downtown Milwaukee, and they just rebranded it. Now, we're going to get the full story from the owners in the second half of the show. But like any other restaurant, their marketing has some unique twists to it. Costs are rising. Consumer preferences are rising. We're going to get some really interesting insight from two of the best in the breakfast business. And related, is there a maple syrup shortage coming? I certainly hope not. But another warm winter might have something to say about that. We're going to have to keep our eye on it as Jeremy Solon from Tapped Maple Syrup will join us on the phone to talk about their family tree farm in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and what's coming up for the spring maple syrup season and how a warm winter could really affect it. But first, as we do each and every morning on The Upswing, let's go to up.
Up one, two. Now it's time for the 2 up on The Upswing.
The cities with the fastest car commutes? How long was your commute this morning? Where were you coming from? Where were you going? Chances are, no matter how long your commute was, that it costs you time, obviously, and money. U.S. commuters average nearly 55 minutes round trip to get from here, wherever here was, maybe home, to work. For many Americans, the drive to and from work requires enduring slow-moving, soul-draining traffic. The commute remains kind of one of those top gripes as workers have, as we all talk about, return to office. From the Wall Street Journal, though, three markets rank for the top commuting cities in America. Number one, Columbus, Ohio. Number two, Memphis, Tennessee. And number three, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They all have some of the fastest commutes in the country, clocking in at around 22 minutes one way, according to new analysis of federal data looking at cities reporting in the Wall Street Journal. While the data includes all types of commutes, 3 out of 4 American workers drive, and on average, workers spend nearly 27 minutes commuting each way to and from work. The longest commutes, you can probably guess, New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles have some of the highest number of hours lost to delays during car commutes. The cities with the fastest drive times either had visionary urban planning, well-run public transit programs that help ease car traffic, and smaller populations, obviously, on bigger roadways that make commuting less frustrating. Transportation researchers and city officials report to the Wall Street Journal. If you're listening here in Greater Milwaukee, be thankful. We're in the top three. Next up on the 2 Up, banned books for free. Today, the Bandwagon, powered by Penguin Random House, Unite Against Banned Books, First Book, and Little Free Library is hitting the road for its second bandwagon tour, and it's stopping at bookstores and libraries in 9 American communities across the Midwest and the South that are beginning to be impacted by book banning. Today, this tour stops right here in downtown Milwaukee at Milwaukee's Central Library, right at 814 West Wisconsin Avenue. It will be there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you get select banned books for free while supplies last. The Milwaukee stop is one of the tour stops in the city that come to Midwestern and Southern states that have seen a rise in efforts to ban books. Titles include The Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank, The Fault in Our Stars by John Green, and many, many more. During today's visit, there's going to be a related presentation and panel discussion, all at the beautiful Central Library right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Food trucks will also be parked in conjunction with Bandwagon's visit. For more details, you can check out the Central Library's website. All right, when we come back, maple syrup. Are we heading towards a maple apocalypse? I certainly hope not. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. It takes less than 10 minutes to complete, and we want your feedback to participate. All you got to do is simply text the word survey to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. That's 855-616-1620. A survey link will be texted back to you. As a thank you for your participation, upon completion of the survey, you will be entered to win a package that includes two Milwaukee Bucks tickets to the upcoming 2024-25 season and an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. So, the business of breakfast for the rest of the show. Hopefully you had a good breakfast this morning. Pure maple production in the United States dropped by nearly 15% in 2023. And some experts are attributing this decline to fluctuating climate conditions, including unseasonable warmth, extreme floods, and maybe even the lack of snow. It was way warmer than it was in previous winters last winter. So it made me think, what's up with the syrup business right here in Wisconsin? Are we heading to a maple apocalypse? I certainly hope not. And I hope that our next guest, Jeremy Solon of Tapped Maple Syrup in beautiful Stevens Point, Wisconsin, can provide some clarity. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time and being with us today.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. So maple syrup tapping usually begins in March, right? Is that still correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say right now.
Okay. So it's obviously only September, but how is business today and what are you forecasting in the future?
Yeah. I mean, it's the forecasting part is hard. Business is good. Like, interest in maple syrup is continuing to increase. You know, it's a amazing, all-natural product, great flavor, many more health benefits than refined sugar. So it's good to see that, you know, aspect on the upswing. But yeah, the seasonal production part of it, definitely harder to predict. You know, when my dad, so my family's been making maple syrup from fourth generation. You know, my kids are fifth generation. My dad always talked about they tap trees in early April. Like, that was, you know, pretty consistent. And that was true when I was growing up. And then over the past 10 years, you know, we started to see that creep into March. And this past year was the first time that we ever tapped trees in February. So, you know, where that goes, it's hard to say. But there's a lot of variability now.
Yeah. Sure. But I mean, do warmer winters impact kind of your forecasting and the nature of the business? Or do you just kind of roll with it and know that, hey, that this is what's going to happen is what's going to happen?
Yeah, we can't change too much of it. So you kind of have to roll with it. But, you know, there are, you know, methods, strategies to try to be prepared at least. So, you know, this past year in particular taught us that we need to be prepared pretty much at any time in the winter. You know, sap ran in January in some places in the state and caught a lot of people off guard. So I think, you know, we know we need to be prepared and then to be as efficient as possible for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled some numbers. Wisconsin's 2024 maple syrup production was 458,000 gallons, up from 1,000 gallons in 2023. So the number of taps actually increased 20,000 already last year to over a million. So, I mean, in terms of total volume, we're still doing pretty well as a state. So some of these national stories maybe don't have as much impact in the Wisconsin climate that isn't as affected by floods and other extreme events.
Yeah. Yeah, and there, every year is, you know, so different. The two seasons ago, so the spring of 2023, the east was super warm. So they went from winter to essentially summer, and there was basically no season. Mm-hmm. This year, they had a better year. Our seasons have been, you know, a little more moderate, I guess. This past year, we actually had a really good year, even though it looked like, you know, it started early, looked like it was going to be terrible. We're in a band. We actually make maple syrup in Lang Lake County, just north of Antigo.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be any farther south than that. Mm. You know, the southern extremes of the maple range, I think, is in pretty tough shape just because of that warming. We need winter. It's very helpful to have snow because that snow helps to moderate the temperature as we get into the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So without, you know, if you further south, less snow, warmer temperatures in the winter, it's pretty tough to expect a decent season anymore.
The Sullen family settled in Wisconsin in the summer of 1917 and runs a tree farm and maple syrup operation. When we come back, more with Jeremy Sullen. He'll tell us all about Tapped, what you're doing differently to produce your syrup, how you've remained competitive with larger brands and cocktail mixers in the syrup business. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Tapped makes craft-infused, barrel-aged, and pure maple syrups from sustainably managed forests right in beautiful northern Wisconsin. Jeremy Sullen joins us from TAP this morning. So, Jeremy, tell us what's different in terms of the maple syrup that you and your family have been producing for so many years.
Yeah. I mean, the core of it starts with, you know, pure maple syrup and, you know, understanding that process and having a relationship with the land and, you know, taking good care of forests. And then from there, we create all kinds of maple syrups for a variety of uses. Our motto is kind of, you know, maple syrup beyond pancakes. Pancakes is a fine use for maple syrup, but just a starting point, you know, thinking about them from a culinary standpoint. We have maple syrups infused with red pepper and black umami garlic, and then into, you know, cocktail syrups and use in baking and all kinds of things like that. So we really try to, you know, diversify the uses of maple syrup, but the core of it starts with, you know, really good pure maple syrup.
Yeah. And you do all that infusion right there in your own facility?
Yeah, we actually have two kitchens we work from. So we have one at the farm, and then we also have one in Stevens Point. We work in a community kitchen through an organization called Central Rivers Farm Shed. So depending on what's going on, we're using one of those two kitchens.
Okay. And how do you then work with the kind of the legacy family tree business? Obviously been there since the early 1900s. Is the maple syrup just a natural extension of the tree business, or the two obviously work hand in hand?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the cores of what we're trying to do is keep that land in forest and, you know, provide some economic basis for that. So my family has a long history of taking care of forests and whether that was a logging business and, you know, doing the best management that they can. But all at the, you know, base of that is keeping land in forest. And then we actually work with other landowners as well. So in addition to the syrup that we produce, we have partners who are, you know, share our values in producing maple syrup and providing an incentive for them to keep their land in forest as well.
All right. And how have you kind of managed to remain competitive with all the larger brands out there? Obviously, you have an upscale product that, you know, not super expensive. I mean, you're looking at between $5 and $13 for a bottle. It's not that much more expensive than the bigger brands, but there's a lot of selections on the shelves.
Yeah, for sure. I think the core of it is, really about innovation and understanding, you know, what people want and how they might want to use maple syrup. So, you know, we did an example is our old fashioned cocktail maple syrup. You know, we talked about using maple syrup in old fashions for a long time, and people kept asking questions of like, you know, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. So we basically created a maple syrup that has all the flavors in it, right? So you just, you know, use a tablespoon of that to make an old fashioned. So it's kind of helping the consumers of our products figure out how to best use them in a variety of situations. So I think that differentiates us. And then just, you know, a focus on quality and really telling the story of our family and our land, and helping people to make that connection of using our product, you know, coming from that land.
And you have a partnership on the old-fashioned cocktail maple syrup with Copper and Pines Cocktail Company, correct?
Yeah, they're friends of ours here in Stevens Point. Okay. And they also work a lot with Bitter Cube. So we use Bitter Cube's bitters in that maple syrup. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of partnership as well. There are a lot of amazing, smart people out there that we love to partner with that helps us to, you know, stay innovative and create good products.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you taking time this morning, Jeremy. All the best. Hopefully the winter season is good for you, and we're having a wonderful, fruitful maple syrup season come spring, or whenever it happens.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Tap maple syrup. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. 8 years ago, Whitney McAllister, Wolfgang Schaefer, they kind of uncovered this beautiful century-old property at 234 East Vine Street in Milwaukee's Brewers Hill neighborhood, turned it into Uncle Wolfie's Breakfast Tavern, a general store and boutique, Orange and Blue Company, and a home for themselves, and at the time, their newborn son. It's truly a great space if you've ever been there. Built in 1902, originally owned by the Miller Brewing Company. Truly, truly unique in so many ways, including the menu, which I adore. We'll talk about that later. Last November, the couple opened a second spot in downtown Milwaukee, The Wolf on Broadway. The name has changed through a lot of thoughtful analysis, some market analysis, learning to adapt to a new neighborhood. And now it's simply Uncle Wolfie's Downtown. Beginning Thursday, Uncle Wolfie's Downtown will serve brunch from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday through Monday. A couple joins us today to talk not only about the state of the breakfast business here in beautiful Milwaukee, but the state of their business. So, Whitney, Wolfgang, welcome to The Upswing. Thanks for taking time.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. So, just a general question. How's business? We're kind of in this state of, oh my gosh, costs are rising, customer expectations are rising. How do you manage it all day to day in the restaurant world?
You adapt, I guess.
Yeah,
that's a big thing. You deal with it. You're right. Food costs have gone up. Everything's more expensive. Dairy and protein and produce. Everything is more expensive these days. And you combat some of it by raising prices as much as you can. But there's a limit to how much a market can really hold as far as prices increase. So, you just make less money.
Yeah. Wow. How do you balance kind of that? I know you've created a really unique brand in a unique neighborhood, and you have this wonderful identity. And then you go into a new market in downtown Milwaukee that's not that far away, but a totally different dynamic. So opening that second restaurant, talk us through the decision to open a second restaurant and then how much you've learned along the way.
Oh my gosh, how long do you have?
Yeah, that's definitely no.
Yeah, we had been approached for lots of second locations, honestly. Uh-huh. And this one just kind of clicked. We got on with the hotel owner. We loved that space. We loved the idea that it was a historic building.
Broadway, Michigan.
Yeah, we got dazzled by that downtown address, and we could just see it, you know?
Yeah.
So We opened that. And I think one
and
of
that
the,
was last November that you opened the downtown location, correct?
Yep. Yeah. And that one just opened as dinner. And I think, you know, one of the things we're realizing right now is that you can do one thing and then you jump to the second thing. And it's not always, A, what you think it's going to be. And it's not always, you know, completely, you don't have it maybe completely fleshed out. So right. we're really riding the tide with this. And we had this scenario where we opened Uncle Wolfie's Breakfast Tavern and we opened those doors and it just, it never stopped.
Yeah.
People just came and came and came. And downtown is just a whole new ballgame. Mm-hmm. Downtown is completely different. And so we've been, pivoting down there to kind of figure out what downtown wants.
Well, and to make it in the restaurant world 8 years with one location, first and foremost, is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And then to take on and kind of birth a second child, if you will, is a huge undertaking. So, I mean, it's always a constant balancing, no matter if you're really successful at one location or you're, you know, whatever the market forces may be, you have to ebb and flow.
Exactly.
For sure. That malleability is something, I mean, we all learned it during COVID for sure. How, you know, being in this restaurant industry during COVID, you had to be ready to spin on a dime, you know? And I think it carried off into just what we were doing now. You know, we have to have that adaptability is sort of assumed. It's almost like we're prepared to adapt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Whitney McAllister, Wolfgang Schaefer, Uncle Wolfie's. When we come back, we'll talk hiring, tipping, customers. Do they complain or do they love? What's the portion size? How do you get that right? So many different dynamics go into building the perfect breakfast. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, the business of brunch and breakfast. Costs, obviously, always an interesting concern. But another area for restaurant owners, hiring. So, Whitney, Wolfgang, at Uncle Wolfie's, how has hiring been, especially with adding a second location?
We've been pretty fortunate.
Yeah.
We get a lot of applications from a lot of really talented folks, and we, more often than not, we're turning away talent. You know, so we've been pretty fortunate with what we've been getting a hold of for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is that attracts the right kind of people, but we just keep finding folks who are gelling really well with us.
Good. That's great. What about tipping? Have you seen any recent changes lately on the consumer end and on the employee end? You know, it's a political season and both candidates have some interesting policies on tipping. Has that affected your day-to-day business at all?
I've noticed more dynamism in tips. There's more, I think there are more people who are willing to drop a lot and more people who are willing not to.
And maybe that's literally what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think it's like last night we were working there and it was like, on one hand I saw no money left. And then on a $28 bill, I saw $100 left, you know, that's exactly what it is. There's kind of this more extreme happening.
What do you think accounts for that? I mean, the food's always great, right?
I don't know what could account for it. I don't know. I have no idea. I think some people have been in the service industry. And they feel the obligation to their brethren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that sense of loyalty concern really powers some people.
Yeah, and then I think some people that, despite rising costs, like we were talking about before, and rising prices for the menu items, they're like, okay, it's expensive now. I'm not going to give you a tip. You know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what about obviously, you know, prices at a place like yours? I mean, I think they're in line with other places. You're looking at $16 to $20 a plate. Not incredibly expensive. But do people look at portion size? Do they look at price? Do they look at value? Do they want to make sure that they have a little bit that they can take away to put in the fridge? Like, what is that customer decision when they're coming into Uncle Wolfie's?
Yeah.
All the above.
I definitely think, and I think it's like a Wisconsin thing for sure. I think we're pretty generous with our portion sizes, and I don't think that Uncle Wolfie's is any different.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people come expecting to take it home for lunch later, you know?
Yeah, I always said Uncle Wolfie's is there to sop up whatever nasty you did yourself last night. So we got to have something big and sloppy.
Yeah, we have some pretty big plates coming out of the kitchen for sure.
And you don't do, there's some good wait times on the weekends, especially at the Brewers Hill location. I mean, your popular spot. Has there been any, do you ever think, oh, we got to start taking reservations? Or you kind of just like that no reservation lane?
Because that line is there, we no reservations at the Brewers Hill is especially important. You know, we can't have tables lay idle for too long. You know, people are ready to go and ready to eat. So that just kind of paces itself. If we put reservations in the mix, I don't know.
Yeah, I just think the wheel is working as is, right? They shop in Orange and Blue, get a drink on the patio, take a walk to Sanger House Gardens.
Go have a pint at Lakefront.
It's a routine now, you know.
Yeah, it's that whole experience. Have a pint. Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right, we are talking with the owners of Uncle Wolfie's. When we come back, is being the only restaurant in an area good or a concern related? You know, there's a new restaurant right across the street from you now that's been open for a little over a year. I want to see how that's impacted business. And then let's dive into costs a little bit, what your breakfast is costing you and how restaurants manage it day to day. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the business of brunch and breakfast with the owners of Uncle Wolfie's. Wolfgang and Whitney join us this morning. So I'm just looking at the Sherman family breakfast and some of the prices. And let's see. Well, $3.49 for a pound of grapes. The russet potatoes, 99 cents a pound. Peaches, $3.49 a pound. The organic eggs, not getting any cheaper. Those are $6-$7 for a dozen. You go over the regular for $3.99. Gallon of milk. When we have a 16-year-old at home, seem like we go through milk
a day.
Every day. What, $3.69 a gallon for milk? You know, the prices just inch up, inch up, inch up, which makes me appreciate going to a restaurant and seeing, wow, you got to buy this stuff at scale and then figure out a way to get me a plate at between $10 and $20, make it full. Balancing that every day with your suppliers, how do you do it?
It is a balancing act. You know, yeah. You're constantly thinking of new ways to increase profit, but it hasn't been made easy on us at all, for sure. Just as you mentioned, we just try to do more things, think of different ways to utilize the space and different ways to create more product, because it is just in general more expensive. Everything about this industry is more expensive from our side.
Does having the adjacent retail business help drive an extra margin here and there, and some extra purchasing?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's one of the best parts about the business. We've got a pretty dynamic grouping of ideas that we have. We've got breakfast and lunch and dinner, and also this retail shop is always been a great supplement to the restaurants. It's since day one. It was born first. It was around before.
Yeah.
It's like the older sister to Uncle Wolfie.
I remember when you first opened in Brewers Hill, somebody said to me, it's like this new school Cracker Barrel. Like, it's real cool, local stuff, but then the food is amazing and it's just the next generation. I'm like, wow, that's an interesting way to explain
it. It's the urban Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
Shopping on one side.
Your menu is really innovative. The Belch sandwich, Wolfgang, talk us through the creation of that, what that's all about. I think it's $18 with all the potatoes, so a pretty good bargain, but that's an amazing sandwich and something people talk about when they leave, for sure.
Thank you. I hope so. It's a belch. It's a funny word to say. It's what I hope happens after you're done eating it, but also it's it means something. It's bacon, egg, lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
Cheddar.
Yes. Of course, it's just, it's an elevated BLT, but it's also kicked up a notch with the sambal aioli that we put on it. And all of the potatoes, we blow kisses at each one of the potatoes before they enter the fryer. And so they get a little bit of an extra, nice glaze on them of love. But I made that sandwich. That was the kind of the original, that was the flagship sandwich that kind of started it all. When I remember making it for my woman and I made the sandwich for her. And good Lord, I'm sorry, Mom. It was in the morning. She said this woman said that when she bit into the sandwich, she knew she wanted to marry me. That's my ring. It worked.
Nice.
She got her wish, I got mine. Now we have restaurants.
A beautiful breakfast brunch love story from Uncle Wolfie's for sure.
So that turned out to be a very expensive belch. You said 18
bucks. So will
bucks,
the belch sandwich be like... on the downtown
it
menu
is.
That
is, yeah.
begin in earnest on Thursday, correct?
Yep. So the belch and then the Big McAllister are like the two guys that stay on there. So
all right, Whitney, Wolfgang, Uncle Wolfie's, all the best with the rebrand downtown
so
and
much.
Continued success in beautiful Brewers Hill right here, just outside of downtown Milwaukee.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Harley-Davidson buyers in New York City lose their local dealership. New York City Harley in Queens closes Saturday. They cite economic conditions and an issue with real estate. Discovery World Science Museum on Milwaukee's lakefront considers expanding summer camps for kids to the suburbs. That follows a one-time camp this summer at Waukesha County Technical College. Glendale-based Clarios International teams with a major European truck manufacturer to develop 24-volt lithium-ion batteries. Clarios is not disclosing the name of the truck maker. I'm Rich Kirchen with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.